Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now in studio, Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. What's going on, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. You know, it's funny. I gotta jump right into it because you intrigued me, the conversation we had coming out of the break. And it's actually here on your site. You think Shedeur Sanders is a cautionary tale for the Baltimore Ravens, am I right?
I think he probably should be. Browns fans have basically been complaining that Sanders is not playing now for about the last month.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Dylan Gabriel, who's not good, and they're trying to give a chance. They drafted him a little bit higher than they drafted Sanders. But one thing that consistently comes up is the phrase, he can't be any worse. All right? He can be worse. Shedeur was a lot worse.
He was worse,
and
yes.
It was way worse. And we'll get into some of that later. Exactly how much, but as far as the Ravens go, I think we're hearing that about the guard play whoever else they've got, they can't be any worse. Well, I can tell you from a lot of experience, they can be a lot worse. You know, the Ravens have two guards who are, while probably not quite average, are above the replacement level. And that's actually somewhat difficult to find.
You do know Shedeur is Deion's son, so you can't criticize him.
Anyway, I've heard
not
that.
Allowed to, because he's Deion Sanders is Shedeur Sanders' dad. Yes,
I know that.
And people fall in love with, like, again, I'm sitting here as I didn't think he would slide to the fifth round, but I'm going, what did people watch in college to say that this guy deserved? Like, I just didn't get it.
A bowl game he won.
No, they almost won. They almost won the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
That's why he got his number retired. Because they almost won.
It was his record.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Now, what's the Baltimore? The cautionary tale is what again?
Again, that Ravens fans ought to be careful what they wish for with regard to guard play. The Ravens are evaluating these guys in practice all the time, whether it's Ben Cleveland, Bullock, or Emory Jones, the new guy. They know whether these guys are really ready to step in or not, and you know. The Ravens have shown no lack of willingness to use rotations to ease players in. Last year we saw, you know, even Brandon Stevens and Trey White, veteran players that are rotating. We've seen it with rookies at other times. We saw Rosengarten and McCary, for example, at right tackle. They've shown no lack of willingness to do that. So if that were warranted, I think they'd be jumping right on it right now,
right,
and getting these guys in for a series. But they're not, and that is a very significant non-positive portent for those other players.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the offense in a bit, because it can be worse, but boy, is it bad. Let's start with the defense today. This is a week where the defense bails out the offense often. The offense definitely wasn't clicking. Lamar didn't look great. They just didn't seem to have it. Can we just talk about Kyle Hamilton? I mean, if it wasn't for Myles Garrett, I think he'd be in the, you know, he'd be front runner for defensive player of the year. He seems like he's consistently having outstanding games. This is probably his best, but still high level.
Yeah, it's been outrageously good, and it's every week it's something new. It's kind of like watching Ed Reed play in his prime in about 2008, yeah, that he just does different things every week to just amaze you on the field. But you know, this week had an incredible sack, and that was it was a spin move he put on the running back to get the sack, well timed, you know, jaunt through the middle there. And the next time the Ravens got a big hit on the quarterback, he put a pick play on so Van Noy could stunt over him. I don't think anybody caught that, by the way. I haven't seen it mentioned at all, but unbelievable pick play they put on that. He had two passes defensed. He's making tackles for loss. It's just it's a ridiculous game. And they do something called freak show statistics, where they put together several unrelated statistics, and they say that player had, he's the only player to have at least, when he had at the minimum, of these four or five stats, and included a forced fumble and three tackles.
He just fills it up. Yeah, he just does everything across the board.
Peter Boulware was the only guy in the last 30 years with a game like that. He's the only other guy, in fact, in NFL history that they're aware of that had nine tackles and three tackles for loss and a forced fumble and two PDs in a game. So they're unrelated. It's called a freak show statistic when you do that. But anyway.
I want to ask you about two players, more specifically one play and a player. The play that Awuzie had at the end of the game, I think it's amazing because, again, the rules are different in the end zone, so he's got to complete that all the way down, and the fact that you're able to pop that free. And what have you seen from Jones since coming over from Tennessee?
Okay, so let's start with Awuzie. Fantastic game. Three PDs in the game, and the biggest defensive play of the game was him prying the ball free from Vardane
in the end zone.
But to have his hands in the right place. Brandon Stevens would have picked up a foul there. I'm pretty sure they would have been at the 1 yard line, you know, because you know most no look defense of that type ends up in a foul. He was no look. It would have been a face guarding penalty probably in the
years
old days.
Past, yeah.
But he had his hand right in the right place, and he was able to play the ball within the grasp of the offensive player and get it free, which was fantastic. In terms of Draymond, I think we've seen lots of positive things from him. He's had a little bit of trouble with run defense in this last game. He's on a number of our blocked notes on the big point of attack wins for the running game, but he had four pressures in the game, and that was really nice. Two quarterback hits, two pressures, and he's provided exactly what the Ravens would hope. By the way, there's a play in this game. Draymond missed a tackle on a sack that may actually keep the Ravens getting a fourth round draft pick this year, because that if he gets two sacks and the Ravens make the playoffs, the pick they traded for moves up from.
So you want him to do good but not great?
I'd rather him not pick up the sacks if all things are equal.
Lots of hits and pressures. Yeah.
Kim McCusick joins us. FilmStudyBaltimore.com.
They're talking about their woes up in the factory of sadness up there with their rookies. Can we talk a little bit about defensive rookies, just Starks and Buchanan, and you know, how do you see their progress? Because I'm pretty pleased with, especially with Buchanan. I talked to you with camp about him. I like this guy, and he's come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's four rookies now playing very significant roles at a very high level, and I think people understand that Malachi Starks had the interception the last 2 weeks, didn't have one this week. He played okay, but he wasn't great. Green is hurt, but I'm very high on him, and I'm hopeful he'll come back from this injury, because he was at his peak right before this. And now we get a good game out of Buchanan, who's been kind of at the heart of a lot of the turnovers by making a tackle, and somebody else comes in with their second man skills to pry it free. He's been better in coverage than he had been before, so I've enjoyed that. And the other guy just jumped off the screen in this game was Keon Martin. As a pass rusher, the one play that people probably remember for him is he's a step slow on Isaiah Bond on the back of the end zone on the chance that Shutter had a chance to get the game tied or even go ahead would have been to complete that pass, and he was in trailing coverage. But he skied up like Air Jordan or whatever you want to say on the left side of that pass rush that he had way up high. Must have looked like, you know, like a flying creature or something to Shadur, because he pulled the ball right down, and there are three receivers on that side of the field. You never do that as a pass rusher, but then I forget who got home for the sack on that play. It was an outrageously good play by him.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Ken McCusick joins us from FilmStudyBaltimore.com in studio. Ken, breaking down Lamar Jackson's performance for Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. We'll have him do that on the other side. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shovels at 8:30, but right now, Ken McCusick still in studio with us from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, Lamar Jackson, two interceptions on Sunday in the win. Some will say, well, the first interception definitely was not his fault. But I would say, well, you know, he had one in the end zone that was dropped by the defender as well. So you giveth, you taketh away. Your thoughts on his performance on Sunday?
Yeah, it was one of the worst games of his career. That's fair to say, I think. He had a terrible opportunity set given to him by the offensive line and other skill position players who were blocking. He only had five ample time and space opportunities. For people who don't remember from last week, he had 2 out of 30 that were ample time and space versus Minnesota, really crowded the line of scrimmage. Actually, fairly modest pass rush by numbers that the Browns used. They were just really effective. And he only got five ample time and spaces, which is terrible. That's a three-second pocket space to step into your throw. By comparison, he's pressured 14 times. Usually you want no worse than a one-to-one relationship between those things. And his was 2.8 pressures for every ATS. So that was very bad. It was a bad game. I'd say the fun thing about Lamar Jackson is he's four times in his career he's had a 60 or lower passer rating, and the Ravens have won all four of those games, incredibly. Three in the division.
I'd love to hear what you want to have to say about the offensive line as a whole, because I saw 300-some-pound men being thrown around like kids, knocked down, thrown to the side. I thought they played terribly. The coach said he thought they played pretty damn well. How'd you rank the O-line?
They were in the middle. They were not responsible for all the pressure, and in particular the five sacks, they were only responsible for two of those. Then think about some other things. They didn't get penalized at all. That's very important. Mm-hmm. And they didn't miss a lot of blocks in this game. What they did is they had some big pressures allowed and some quarterback hits, and that wasn't good. But overall, they were okay. They were right in the middle, like basically a C, and I'll go through the players really quickly. Stanley, a C-. Vincent, by the way, last 2 weeks now has been the backup left tackle. Noteboom is on the bench as a healthy scratch. Yeah. Not on the bench, on the sideline as a healthy scratch. Voorhees a C- in this game. He allowed parts of 6 pressure events, 5 pressure events, sorry. Linderbaum had a great game, and PFF lists him as responsible for a sack, which is fine. That's the way they describe it, but it took like 4 seconds for that to develop. He got an A, and I have him for only 3 missed blocks the whole game. Daniel Fa'alele had a D. His play is definitely trending in the wrong direction. He's had 2 consecutive Ds, and this game was tied for the worst he'd had the whole season with the Buffalo game in week 1. So he looked bad in this one. Rosengarten a D. He gave up a number of pressure and penetration events in the game, missed 6 blocks. You know, obviously those grades are not great across the board, but they average probably to about a C or C- in total. It's not bad, but believe me, there is a lot worse. And if you watch other teams in the league, they've got a lot worse offensive line problems than the Ravens.
So you're saying this can get worse?
Yeah, I'm saying that. And I said it already with the Shadur thing.
Now, my question to you is, you said 5 sacks, they were responsible for 2.
Yeah.
How do you determine whether the offensive line is responsible? And when they're not responsible, does that mean the quarterback is holding the ball too long?
Yes, that's generally what it means. 2 of them were with ample time. Lamar had 5 ample time space opportunities. 2 of them, Lamar took a sack on the play. Okay. So that's right there. That tells you he had 3 seconds plus to throw. The other one was Derrick Henry, actually missing his block, who was responsible for it. So, and then 2 on the offensive line that were split multiple ways. So I'm not saying it was a good performance by the offensive line. You'd want them to play better than this. But, you know, the Ravens are looking at who they'll have as backups.
So basically Ed and Harbaugh were lying. Like, it wasn't the worst performance, and it wasn't the best. You can't trust anybody these days. Hey, I don't want to open up Pandora's box and go back to the defense and allow Ed to ask more questions about defense, but you've watched them now for 4 games, and granted, they did play the Rams. Do you think they, I don't want to say fixed, how much better are they than what they were? Like, is this a playoff caliber defense that can get you stops now, or will we not know until we see them play more?
I mean, I'm not one of these guys who says you have to wait for every single piece of evidence ever to be in, or you can never make any prediction ever about the future is the point. As a gambler, you'd find that very frustrating, I hope.
Of course.
Okay. So you have to do the best you have with the current information. I'd say they look a lot more prepared for the playoffs than they did a month ago.
Is it better against the run and still the pass rush might need some work? Or are you just seeing a combination of both have gotten better?
Yeah, I mean, the pass rush looked incredible in this game. We can talk about that a little bit, but they were outrageous. I'd say that it looked like Orr had Shedeur Sanders as a marionette. Now you can question whether or not Sanders is the kind of quarterback you'll face in the playoffs, and obviously he's not. But you can also question whether or not any of that is transferable. I say it's okay to adjust for how bad Sanders is, but you shouldn't completely take it as no data point.
You wanted to talk about how good the pass rush was. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. So everything worked is the simple thing. They got 2.3 yards per pass play when you assess properly the intentional grounding as a 15-yard sack, which is what it really was. Okay.
And I always thought that the defender near the quarterback, closest to the quarterback, should get credited for sacks on intentional grounding goals. I've always thought that should be a stat.
That's reasonable. That was Simpson was taking him down on the process, so that should have been Simpson's sack for sure. But here are the numbers for the deceptive elements, because this is where it really showed out. They blitzed 12 times from off ball. Okay, that's a lot for the thing, but those were spread over eight plays. Those eight plays, the Browns averaged minus 3.1 yards per play. They stunted five times, including intentional grounding. On those plays, the Browns averaged minus 3.6 yards per play. They used sim pressure seven times, included two sacks, three quarterback hits, one other pressure, one ball that he managed to get out quickly, minus 3.9 yards per play. I've never seen numbers like that for a game where every deceptive element is that good in terms of negative yardage on average per play. So. Right. They did most of it to Sanders in that second half, too. They didn't do too much to Gabriel.
And my reason for that sack is akin to pass interference. If I'm going out on a pass play and Jeremy mugs me, but I still catch the ball, that's a catch, decline, a penalty. Yep. If I'm wrapped around you,
I hate that,
and you throw the ball away, why can't I decline the intentional grounding and hit my sack? It's the same play.
I hate it.
On the defensive side. It's
and
the
just
same play.
Just to confirm what everybody's thinking, I hate the fact that Rob thinks that I wouldn't take him down and he would actually make the play along with it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I would marsh you and catch the ball and get a penalty for the dance that I did over top of it.
I would tie my hand around my back and pick that ball off with one hand.
You would?
You
pick it off with your mouth because... some guys have arm talent. You have
it's strong.
Oral talent.
I just got my throat redone.
I know you did.
Yeah. Back on the market.
Kevin McHugh's going to let you out of here. Tell us about filmstudybaltimore.com.
Okay, filmstudybaltimore.com. We have the deep fencing. Thanks for that. There's a dead cat in the parking lot. Now the comedic stylings of Kevin McHugh. So anyway, I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. The defensive notes are out there right now. The offensive line will be out there and the defensive podcast very soon today.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Ken. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Maryland head football coach Mike Locksley joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, Ed Norris. We're giving out shovels.
Yeah, we are. I don't know if you see what's happening up in New York City, but it's getting interesting.
It's getting kind of hectic. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. And during the break, I'm going to take Jeremy Cohn out to the parking lot and demonstrate that moss on him.
You don't want
Big
that.
Bad Morning Show.
You don't want
the
smoke.
On the Fan. Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
Oh, the voters in New York City. This is going to be really interesting. As you know, what was once improbable actually happened. And that is, you know, Mamdani, is now the mayor of New York City. Not only New York City is the biggest, you know, city in the country, but it's the capital, the financial capital of the planet. It's a very important place in the world. And there's some stuff he's promising is like really, really, I'm just curious about why. You know, what he's doing and why. Because some of the things he's doing, like supporting, you know, very radical anti-Semitic / anti-Israel candidates for city council or the leadership positions, delegate. Like, New York City is the second largest Jewish population in the world after Israel. I mean, after Tel Aviv. Like, it's an enormous, you know, very powerful group. And I don't know why. I don't understand how they did this. Like, you know, there were ISIS flags being waved. he's always been, defund the police, anarchist kind of guy, anti-American, anti-Israel.
Can we take the far right and the far left and shoot him into the sun?
Yeah.
Like can we just do that already?
I mean, just some of the stuff is just like, look, I'm not one who's opposed to change. I think we need change in this country. Not this change. I mean, it just, and the people that supported him too was like, you're going to be the first ones to suffer. Lots of women. A lot of his beliefs go back to, what's going on in the Middle East. A lot of it, where women have no rights. If you're gay, they hang you from cranes in these countries. Like, this is real stuff, man. And, like, I don't really understand how people, what people are thinking. Because the promise he made seemed to be coming true. And it's like, wow, okay. I'm going to watch. We'll see how this works out for everybody. But it's interesting right now.
Jeremy Kahn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, I'll get to my shovel in 1 second. I just came across this thing where a reporter asked Trump, if there's nothing incriminating in the Epstein files, why not release them? And I just want to tell you what he said. Quiet. Quiet, piggy.
What? He
said, quiet, piggy? That's what he said.
Did he really say
that? Is that real?
I got to check the audio on this.
100% like, real. He said it to a reporter with Bloomberg.
Yeah, it seems believable.
God, I love him now.
I can't stand him.
He's a pedophile, man.
Any other president said that, you'd freak out.
He's a damn pedophile. Release the Epstein files. Why are we blocking all this? Anyway, my shovel, goes to this report in the New York Post. I want to read this to you guys. Parents should ask babies for consent before changing their diapers. How? How do you know they've acknowledged you if they're babies? This is a real report. It's a move that might stink to some parents, but there's a new age way to change a newborn's undies. Mm. A newborn! Huh. What, do they blink twice if they want you to change their diaper when it's full to... I mean, come on. Instead, the experts encourage moms and dads to request an infant's consent. You read that correctly. Before changing their diaper. At the start of a nappy change, ensure your child knows what's happening. Get down to their level and say, you need a nappy change. Joe, you need a nappy change.
One goo for yes, two goos for no.
How many
guys? Which side decided on this one?
I know. Shut up, Ed. Damn far left, you crazy ass people. I can't figure out who's crazier, the far left or the far right. They both have agendas, though, but yeah.
Interesting time to be alive.
Yeah. Ask your baby if it feels like being a lizard today. Oh, I'm a kitty cat. I can't change a kitty cat sniper. They're not supposed to wear them. It's, come on, man. Society's ridiculous.
It's an Australian person that came up with this.
Is it?
Yeah, Body Safety Australia Chief Deanne Carson.
I was listening to Eminem.
Oh, Doc.
My shovel goes to Kyle Field. He is a Texas state trooper who...
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
He confronted South Carolina's Nick Harbor after players scored a touchdown Saturday. Harbor went into the tunnel, 80 yards touchdown reception, went into the tunnel appearing to walk off a leg injury. He and three of his teammates were walking back to the field. The trooper walked in between Harbor and Attaway and bumped into them. The trooper pointed at Harbor and Attaway, appearing to admonish them. Harbor was quickly pushed away from a teammate as they continued making their way towards the field. That trooper was sent home. He should be relieved of his duties permanently. You are not the celebration police, man. Your job is to protect and serve, not harass and humiliate.
He bumped that kid because he scored a touchdown.
What it was you're celebrating too much. Act like you've been here before. That was one of those. Old man,
not
act like you've been
team.
Here before.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest things I've heard recently.
It's dumb, man. Seriously, why would you? You're there to protect the players. That's why you're there, to protect the players. Why are you? What do you care about how a player celebrates, overly celebrating? Get out of the tunnel. Says who?
Yeah. When I gave my words eulogy for Tony Barksdale, I talked about policing for people who were civilians. I said, this is how they work. 80% are in the middle. They'll do whatever's asked of them either way. 10% will risk their lives, and they're the stars, and they carry the rest of the department. The other 10% should have done something else for a living. That's that guy.
That's that guy. The 10% that should have done something
else. Yeah, I brought this up the other day.
What are you doing, man? Seriously.
Yeah.
What,
It's not your job. Yes. It's not even it's not appropriate in any level.
Yes. By the way, I just checked. It's not anyone's job.
It's not.
Right. It's not. It's not. Nobody has the job of celebration police, except maybe the referees.
But there's some people at home thinking, well, they do too much celebrating. No, it's not. Shut up. It's a game. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's not. If you don't like it, don't watch it or turn away when they celebrate. I hate that, man. You putting your hand on a kid because he was in the tunnel. Go back to the sideline. Says who?
Yeah, just make sure you get in the end zone and then celebrate. That's the only issue I have. Don't drop the ball on the 1-inch line.
Let's go out to the phone lines to Baltimore and get Daryl. What's up, Daryl?
Hello, man. Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to make a thing about this. Should Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, the only thing with this is, I'm not going to stay ready to throw dirt on him yet because I want to see him play when he has a full week of practice, a full week of reps with the first team, and go out there and have a chance to play, script some plays for me, and let him go down and then see what he can do.
Well, word is that he's starting next week, and I want to see him play for the rest of the year so we can shut up about it one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, I don't think people shut up about it one way or the other. I feel like this is that line that people are drawing. They're not going to admit he's bad, and the people that think he stinks aren't going to admit he's good if he plays well. Like, people have to understand this, too. You know me, I don't think he's going to be a good player. I'd never was in on that.
But I think he's going to be a game manager.
Yeah. I think Cleveland should have started him a while ago, but also you got to understand being thrust into this game without taking any reps with the ones.
That's what happens as a backup quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, so Luke McCown, he wrote a long thing about it on social media. Chase Daniels did a video on it and how difficult it is to come in a game and try to be that guy. So don't judge him on this half a game where he didn't look good. And if anybody's saying he did, you're off base.
But this is what gets me. When in the history of backup quarterbacks have people had to come to the defense of a backup quarterback because he didn't get first snaps?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we defending this?
Excuse me, ask the question. This isn't a racial issue. What is it with this?
It shouldn't be an issue at all. He's a backup quarterback.
I know.
He doesn't get reps with the first team.
But I was used to it for years where you watch people complaining about this guy or that guy. You know, he's not getting this because he's white. He's not starting because he's black. If they did this or that, this doesn't apply here. It's not it's not a curiosity anymore. It's just him. It's just him that people are just dying on his hill for. I don't know why.
It just doesn't make any sense, man. There's no need for it. But they're also the people when I talked about him and I wasn't a fan of his coming in and everybody's, oh, he should do this. The league's blackballing him and all this stuff. Like, I think all that's BS, personally. I don't think there's any of that going on. If you were talented, people don't care who your daddy is.
Maryland head football coach Mike Locksley joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, what's trending? Jamar Chase suspended one game for spitting on Jalen Ramsey, but he plans on appealing it. Your thoughts? Baltimore's Big Bad
Please
Morning
do.
Show. And Jeremy doesn't get to respond in this one right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
He was saying that you spit on him. Did you spit on him?
I ain't never opened my mouth to that guy.
So what do you think prompted the reaction from him?
Well, he don't like some of the words I told him. We've been going back and forth the whole time, so I'm sure something got under his skin.
He spit on me, so it's up. I don't give a football after that, respectfully.
Hey, man, I don't think the video lies. We didn't see it live,
But I don't think the video lies.
Man, if you can't believe one of the best receivers in football, who are you going to believe?
Yeah, not him.
And by the way,
I do believe the television. I saw him spit on him. but let me ask you a question. What was Ramsey upset about? Jamar Chase had 3 catches for 30 yards. What?
Why would he
have been upset? He wasn't productive.
Yeah.
He had 3 catches for 30 yards, no touchdowns. He had 10 targets.
Well, you know why.
So 10 targets, you were covered.
He had 20 targets in the Thursday night football game against them. I think he had 20 catches.
So who's my point is, who's likely to be more frustrated?
Yeah.
Because, Ramsey or Chase?
Let me see. His numbers in that last game were absurd against the Steelers. I'm going, he's got to love having Joe Flacco there with how many times he throws him the damn ball. It's unbelievable.
So at that, Jamar Chase is saying makes no sense. It was what I was saying to him. He got frustrated about what? That the quarterback was 3 of 10 for 30 yards throwing to you? You're the one to frustrate. I think he spit on him.
I think you nailed it. He got 23 targets in the last game, caught 16 of them for 161 yards and a touchdown. He was eating. I was going to say something else because I know sometimes I put my foot in my mouth. He was just eating them up all game.
Yeah.
And then you come into this game and it's like, okay, well, now you're going to get some Jalen Ramsey treatment with a little help over the top.
Yep.
Let's see how you react. Because Ramsey is a physical corner where Chase is a physical receiver. You're not getting the types of receptions you wanted. Maybe you're upset at the quarterback not getting it there. You're frustrated. It's a frustrating ass season.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't support anyone spitting in anyone's face.
No. And the video does not lie.
No.
We didn't see it in time, live. I thought Ramsey was just being an idiot. I did. But, bro, you spit in my face.
Oh, it's game
all
on.
Bets are off.
Yeah.
There are no more NFL rules.
Like,
you spit in my face.
If somebody spits in your face.
Or at me.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to land.
Yeah.
If you spit at me, it doesn't have to land. Let's keep that straight.
Yeah. I think we shouldn't be mad at Ramsey for attacking him for getting spit on. It's the guys that get spit on and are able to just kind of wipe it off and not deal with anything. Those are the guys that deserve praise because I don't know how you hold your anger. That's nasty as hell. You spit a loogie. You spit on me. Like, you've been around somebody that's talking and spit in your face. And
yeah.
You're like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, you ain't going to say anything to him. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, I do.
I just come back with the glasses like they did with Sergeant Slaughter with the windshield wipers
you,
on them.
Wipe your mouth. Turn the other way. Do what you got to do. Don't spit on me, man. That's just a little too much. Mm.
The guys that don't react, the problem is then there's no attention drawn to the actual act of spitting and nobody knows, you know? And then it'd be like, I don't know, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to walk away from.
I think personally that spitting on someone is worth it more than a 1-game suspension.
I do too.
That's more
so
than
do
one
I.
game.
Absolutely.
Well, we definitely want him to appeal this though, right? You want him to appeal it. Go ahead and appeal it. Play this weekend. What happens if they uphold the suspension? We don't see your ass on Thanksgiving. Go ahead and appeal it.
That's why you want him to appeal it.
Appeal it, man.
I was wondering why you want him. Joe, you said he had a rebuttal to this?
Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that Chase's argument for why he didn't spit on him is because if he were going to spit on him, he would spit in his face and not on his jersey.
Well, maybe he missed.
So he knows where the spit went.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's admitting.
Huh. Yeah, he said he would have spit in his face and not on the jersey/ground.
Hmm. All right.
See, we've all had to spit before. Sometimes mid-conversation outside. What do you do? We turn away, take a step away, do what you got to do, and then you come back and pick up the conversation. You don't spit at someone's foot because you had to spit. That's not how that works.
No,
that's not how that works at all. So this is, it should be more than the 1-game suspension. I'm sorry. That is, when you cause that to, he should be suspended longer just because of the reaction that it caused. Honestly.
Well, look, Ed's going to love this, but this is, I thought about it for a while now, but this is why hockey does it right. You're policing the sport within it. You're not letting it get out of hand. You're not letting things get crazy, but you're policing it within it and saying, okay, you want to do this. There are consequences and repercussions that don't involve suspensions and fines.
Yeah.
You might get your ass beat in front of the world.
Yeah.
That might happen.
And I'll sit down for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, again, if that happens, make them play 10 on 11. How'd you like that? How'd you like to play 10 on 11?
Okay. Well, here's the problem with this. In that situation, the Steelers would have actually played 10 on 11 because Chase wasn't caught on field.
Ramsey was caught.
Ramsey was caught. That's the only problem with that in this situation.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that's right. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but okay.
Are you worried about Lamar Jackson's recent decline in play? We'll talk about that at 9:15. But on the other side, University of Maryland Terps football coach Mike Locksley joins the program on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.